Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Sleep Deprivation Institute's secret underwater headquarters somewhere off the coast of Iowa, it's the man dedicated to keeping the internet completely wired. This is Which Goes Off with Widget Walls.
Friends are dead. Not what it used to be. Now you'll never have a place like home to rest your head.
Hello, hello, and hello. This is Widget Walls, and you are listening to Widget Goes Off on QuickStopEntertainment.com. Welcome back, everyone. Hope we all made it through the week relatively intact. The first thing I want to talk about this week is this whole Pirates 2 thing. I mean, Jesus Christ. When this all started, I thought, you know, with Pirates 2, I was hoping that it was going to outdo Superman. It was just a hope. It wasn't a surety. I knew Superman was going to underperform simply because of what I've talked about before. There was just no way they'd set themselves up for failure. But I wasn't expecting this. I mean, first of all, Pirates 2, Jesus Christ. I mean, I mentioned last week, I've seen it. It's a good movie. It's not as good as the first one. It certainly doesn't have the replay value of the first one. It doesn't have all the fun of the first one. But $200 million good? I don't know. I wouldn't think so, but Jesus Christ. I mean, I can't remember the last time I've seen something like this. $18 million take on a Monday, a non-holiday Monday. I mean, it's summer vacation, but Jesus Christ, that's incredible. Superman had like a 10-day head start, and it still found it, kicked its ass, took its wallet, called it names, you know, wrote on it in magic marker. I mean, unbelievable. And that's part of it too, is that I. You know how when there's somebody that's like an asshole, and you kind of wish that somebody would kick their ass, you know. And then they're not like a total unredeemable asshole. They're just kind of like, you know, a bully or something like that. And you're like, you know, I hope somebody kicks your ass. And then they get an ass kicking, but it's not just an ass kicking. I mean, it's like an ass beating. I mean, it's like hospitalized type of thing, and you realize that it's gone really way beyond anything that you could have possibly hoped for, and so you kind of feel bad, you know? I'm kind of feeling that now. I mean, I wanted Superman to lose out at the box office, but this is fucking humiliating. I mean, this is degrading. I mean, nobody wants to see that. I mean, this is sad. I mean, not only did Pirates 2 just completely destroy everything, but I mean, you're in your third week. And I know a lot of films in their third weekend, by then they're almost off the charts, right? But this is fucking Superman. This is Warner Brothers. I mean, Batman, yeah, that's one thing. That's like their number two property. This is DC Comics and like Warner Brothers' number one property. This was their sure thing. And it got its ass kicked on weekend number three. First of all, Pirates just drove its face in the ground. Then Little Man and You, Me, and Dupree just kind of came along and kicked it, like, in the balls while it was down. Just unbelievable. And like I said, I almost feel bad for these guys. I mean, I'm sorry, you know, I hate to go on and on about it, but just it's unbelievable. This is a tanking of Pluto Nash proportions. And as I was talking to Doc the other day, it blows our minds that we're having to talk about a movie that's made over $160 million and close to $200 million worldwide as a bomb. But it is. And it's never going to get over that stigma. I mean, I remember I was reading an interview with them. I can't remember if it was Devlin or Emmerich, but this was a few years ago. He was talking about the Sony Godzilla atrocity. And that basically it's seen as a bomb. And but it actually, when all is said and done, made money. But it could never live down the idea that it was a bomb, no matter what. And even if by some miracle, if God himself were to, like, shine a light down on Superman Returns and say, everyone, you know, go see this. You know, if Mel Gibson were to come out and say that it was, he liked Superman Returns and was being persecuted because of it, you know, maybe that would drive up the box office. Something. I don't know. You'll never get around the fact that Superman Returns got its ass handed to it like this. Unbelievable. And like I said before, Superman 6 is going to be in development hell forever. And this is interesting, because I was thinking about this. Because I know this sounds stupid, but I never associated Superman Returns with Batman Returns, even though it's a similar title. Normally because I don't really think about the failed Batman franchise, and really it was a failure. I mean, I'm sure box office-wise, at least the first two movies, it probably kicked some ass, you know. And I haven't looked that up, don't want to, it might, you know, depress me. But, I mean, Batman, at least Superman Returns from a title standpoint made sense, right? I mean, you remember when Batman Returns came out, everybody was like, where the fuck did he go? He was fine when we left him a minute ago. What did you do with him? At the end of the movie, he was okay. What? So there's that. And, you know, I don't know. Because really, when you take away, I mean, the first Batman movie, Michael Keaton, God love him. I remember when people were like, Michael Keaton for Batman, that's not a good idea. But I thought, no, this actually works because if you watched Beetlejuice, and I know that's crazy, but if you watched Beetlejuice, he was funny, but he was also kind of dangerous. And the undercurrent of danger is the whole thing about Batman, because he's the most dangerous man on the planet, as far as DC Comics is concerned. So I'm like, that was fine for me. But really, when you look at Superman Returns, Batman Returns, as far as the movie being any good, apart from one line from Danny DeVito, you know, at least my nose is in gushing blood, apart from that line and Michelle Pfeiffer in the cat suit with the stiletto heels and the ass kicking and the whip and stuff, I mean, holy fuck! I remember, you know, pretty much not even every guy who saw the movie in the theater, every guy of my age, basically every male on the planet who is within the sound of my voice is now nodding and saying, "You're right, Witch! Holy fuck! Holy fuck! That was amazing!" But once you take that away. Once you move away from that and you have those fond memories of needing to be fanned from almost fainting in the cinema from watching, God damn, that was hot. So once you take that away, the movie really sucked. I mean, it really did. So I don't know. You know, is that part of the problem with Superman Returns or what? And Doc was asking me what's wrong with it. And like I said before, people, especially the geek savvy folks, who you're trying to hit with a nostalgia kick by having the original John Williams score on all those things, they're not stupid people, okay? There's a lot of stupid people in the world. There's a whole lot of stupid people here in America. We got stupid people everywhere, okay? But who you were trying to hit with that, they're not stupid. They're going to realize that one or two things, actually. They're going to realize that they could stay at home, like I think I've said before, and just listen to the original score and get the same effect, especially when they watch the two trailers side by side with the John Williams score and without it. Let's think about it. Maybe the geek community, those of you who went to see the film, maybe the geek community, there's only $160 million worth of geeks out there. Now, I don't buy that, because, you know, let's look at it this way. You have some crossover with, like, X-Men, because X-Men kind of went the route of let's bring in some non-geeks who can enjoy the film. Spider-Man, huge crossover. But Superman, you would think, would have a lot of crossover because it's fucking Superman. I mean, Spider-Man, Captain America, whatever else, Batman, whatever. But, like, Superman is, like, I would think the number one comic book character, recognizable comic book character ever. Maybe the whole comic geek community is only worth about $160 million of box office, and beyond that, you've got to cross over. I don't know. I would love to see some analysis about that. No idea. But anyway, so that's that. More Superman Returns fallout. Unbelievable. And you comic geeks out there, you better thank your fucking lucky stars that this wasn't the movie that led off the current superhero wave. Imagine trade places with Superman and Spider-Man's release schedule. Spider-Man, you know, did incredible box office. Spider-Man 2 did even more incredible box office. But imagine if Superman Returns had come out and bombed this badly at the start of all this. around the time Spider-Man had come out. You would never, there would like never be another superhero movie ever. I mean, there would be, it would be a 15 to 20 year drought before they would be so gun shy. So, I mean, thank your fucking lucky stars that no matter what you think about, stuff like Spider-Man. I didn't like the first Spider-Man movie so much. I know, don't kill me. I haven't seen the second movie yet because I was so burned by the first movie. But no matter how much you don't like movies like that, the fact that they make money is what enables good movies like Batman Begins to actually happen because they lump all the shit together. And luckily, we're at the point now where we've got enough of a track record where they know that. Oh yeah, if you make a shitty comic book movie, then this will happen. I don't know if it was shitty or not. A lot of people think so. I haven't seen it. I'm not passing judgment on the film. I'm passing judgment on the marketing that's gone into it, okay? And also what the box office is telling me. So, and at this point, I might go see it just out of guilt because I feel so bad about its ass kicking. I don't know. So there's that. Also interesting, well, so first some sad news. I mean, Syd Barrett passed this week. At first I didn't believe it because it just seemed like every 3 or 4 years there was a rumor that came out that Syd Barrett had died. In fact, I got hooked on Pink Floyd when I was a teenager. Actually, very strangely, I started with Piper at the Gates of Dawn. I think Cat actually gave me my first Pink Floyd album, a cassette recording of, oh, the MPAA or the RAAA, I'm a pirate, I'm a pirate. They gave me my first bootleg cassette, haha, of Piper, and I was like, this is some crazy shit. I like this, and it just went from there. So that was Sid. But I, for some point, for some reason, I had gotten involved with Pink Floyd. I kind of knew the story of Sid, and then when I found out he was still alive, even at that point, I was like, he's still alive? Because it just seemed like, I don't know, that he was just for all intents and purposes dead. So, I'm glad he was around for as long as he did, as he was. I hope to hell he went peaceful like. What happened to him fucking sucks, and I feel really bad about that. But Pink Floyd, that he helped spawn an incredible band that's meant a lot to me through my life. So, we did a little front page thing on Need Coffee for Sid, and wherever he is, I hope he's resting well. So, really, really sad music news. As far as other industry news, going back to the what I was saying that was interesting, this is interesting. Now, Disney has come out. Where was it? It's been reported a couple of different places. About Disney looking at cutting back, and I'm looking at a MarketWatch article now where they're talking about that versus other studios where people are passing judgment on this. But basically, the bottom line is that Disney may be doing some reductions in personnel, and they may also be cutting down their film output, primarily on the Touchstone side of things. And really, this is fascinating because what you've got is you've got Iger, who's the new boss, and really, for the most part, looking at what Iger's done since he's gotten in, I'm seeing a lot of smart business moves on the part of Disney, which is really strange to see because Disney normally, I mean, in the past they've done nothing but really shitty ideas. I mean, you look at stuff like. Hey, I've got a great idea. Let's turn our park rides into movies. I mean, what did you get out of that? You got Country Bears and Pirates, right? So Pirates is just a fucking fluke. I don't know how that happened. But yeah. So you had stupid ideas like that, and a bunch of live action films from Touchstone that nobody gives a shit about. I'm looking at the 2006. Buena Vista, and it's on Box Office Mojo. It's all lumped in together, so you don't get like Touchstone and Pixar and animation all together. But basically, here are your successes for 2006 right now. You got Cars, obviously, okay, which is done, which like I said is almost broken 300 million worldwide. You got Pirates, okay, which has done broken all kinds of records. All right, Pirates 3, when it comes out next year, is going to do the same. All right. Narnia, which did better than it, should have, with at least, almost 300 million domestic gross. So there's that. Then what's next? Eight Below. Eight Below still did about 81 million. And I, they don't always have the development costs and the budget for Disney films. I don't think they released those. So, but I assume that Eight Below made money. I mean, when you've got Paul Walker and dogs, not terribly expensive, okay? So that probably made money. Even like Shaggy Dog only did $60 million domestic, and that's with Tim Allen. Tim Allen, who is normally like the Disney go-to guy, right? I mean, that's why they're doing Santa Claus 3. And let me just say something about Santa Claus 3 for a second. I could give a rat's ass about Santa Claus, the whole franchise, not the you know, the figure, but I mean, you know, like, you know, I still want to get presents this year, so I'm not, you know, downing Santa, but the Santa Claus franchise. But I saw the trailer for like Martin Short as Jack Frost, and that's how good Martin Short is I might actually want to go see Santa Claus 3 just for Martin Short, just because he looks like he's going to be having a blast. So, you know, kudos to Disney for actually figuring out a way to get me interested in going to go see a shitty Santa Claus flick. So amazing. But no, I mean, if you look at this other stuff, Glory Road, Annapolis, you know, Casanova came out in 2005, you know, but moved over. They haven't had a lot of successes recently with their live action stuff. I mean, even stuff like, you know, they mention here in the article, Lady Killers and stuff, didn't do great guns. So what you've got is, and here's what I think and what I hope Iger is up to and the folks at Disney are up to, is they're starting to actually run this company like it was a business and not like their own little personal empire. Because they're realizing, and this is me reading a lot into this, but this is what I hope, and this is what other studios need to do, is they need to realize that people won't go see crap anymore. I mean, at least not on a consistent basis. You can't release crap on an ongoing basis and expect people to show up. Because as we've gone through before on this little podcast thing, there's plenty of other shit that you could be doing with your time. And really, who has time anymore? I don't have time. I'm having to like work out with a laptop in front of me so that I can type, you know, while working out. I mean, how fucking sad is that? How pathetic is that? And how many of you other people out there are about to email me and go, how are you doing that? Because that sounds like a pretty good idea. I mean, we're all pressed for time. So as we've talked about, going to the cinema is a pain in the ass. So you've got to make it worth our while. So Disney is going to look at stuff like, okay, Pixar, they're fine. Stuff like Pirates or Narnia, which is a given, okay, given box office draw, unless you totally fuck it up, those are good. But stuff like, you know, stuff like Eight Below and Lady Killers and Annapolis and stuff like this, I'm going to take a hard eye on it. And I think they should, because now, if you were to release something like Eight Below with like a cut budget and Eight Below made money, but something like, you know, even Casanova or something, some family film, some of their family shit that if you just started sending that stuff direct to video, I mean, like they do with their animation sequels, they're made on the cheap and people buy them. Now, I don't agree with them artistically, but they obviously make money. And people out there or somebody you know buys them. Okay, so that from a business standpoint, that makes sense. So to go something like that route with some of this live action shit that they want to put out. Put it out as live action on direct to video. I mean, it might make money. Who knows? So it looks like they're trying to actually buckle down and say, you know what? We can't just throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. We've got to actually have a plan, which I like. And part of that plan, and I read this elsewhere, was High School Musical, which if you have been around anything, you know, Disney Channel or one of the Disney stores, or have like or know someone who's like small. Not as in like stature, but as in age, well, and stature. But they've made a shitload of money off of High School Musical. And we're in the Disney store in New York, and they were just, you know, hyping it up and were like playing stuff from the video. And it looks totally asinine and garbage. And no one over like the age of 11 would want to watch it. But I mean, for kids, like little kids, I'm sure that it's awesome. You know, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, musical theater might get a boost out of it. Hopefully it's not crap musical theater like as portrayed in the film. I mean, I was in High School Musicals and none of them were that shitty. But anyway, be that as it may, what they've done is they've basically looked at the fact that they have helped launch these careers like, you know, Britney Spears, and as was mentioned in this press release, and the Backstreet Boys, they helped launch it, and they got no stake in them. So what they're doing is they're trying to create product, essentially, just like Britney Spears is a product, the Backstreet Boys themselves is a product, is basically, you know, the media equivalent, the celebrity equivalent of a franchise. They're trying to do this with something like High School Musical, where, you know, they had quotes from the people in the press release talking about, you know, kids from the show saying that they're not about to go out clubbing and fucking around and taking drugs and shit. Disney doesn't have to worry about them, probably because they've got something in their contract and they're being paid a shitload of money probably. And it's obvious that they're going to be working for a while because they're working on a sequel right now. But Disney's actually looking at this like a business. Let's come up with something that we can do on the cheap that will make lots of money, and if it does make lots of money, we can spin off things and run with it. I would be amazed if they didn't do some kind of High School Musical series, to be perfectly honest. I'm sure that's in the works or is being talked about. So, you know, kudos for Disney for actually looking at running a studio like a business, which we don't see that much of. And, you know, like I said, you don't necessarily have to agree with everything that they do, but you know, if they're trying to actually make money and do right by their stockholders and stuff, you know, I can't fault them too much for that. Artistically, I might, you know, smack them around a bit, but from a business standpoint, they at least seem to have you know, some idea of what's going on. If they can pull back, it's basically the British television paradigm, right? British, for those of you who watch British television, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The rest of you, here in America, we have like 22 episode seasons, right? Somewhere around in there, 18 to 22 episodes. And then like a half season, if it's a mid-season replacement, you get 12 or 13 or something like that. In Britain, it's like you'll do a 6-episode series unless you start getting like really, really like the big time, like MI5 is like, well, Spooks it's called over there, Spooks. I think has like 10 episodes in its last series. But for the most part, you, instead of trying to churn out 22 episodes, you churn out 6 that are like really fucking good. I mean, I just watched the first episode of Life on Mars. Incredible fucking show. And the only thing that drives you crazy is it's like, you know, there's only 5 left in the series and then you got to wait for a year, but it's okay because it's like quality. So maybe that's where Disney's going, and that's why I bring up the paradigm. It's instead of 22 episodes where, you know, maybe 18 of them are going to be shit, all right, and maybe you'll get 4 decent ones out of the deal. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather watch 6 good episodes of something than 22 crap episodes, you know, with maybe 4 in there that are at least watchable. I don't know about you. I mean, obviously when you're starting out with a series, you're going to have a great first season, in theory. I mean, even shows that turn into crap. I mean, if you go back and watch the first season of Friends, that was a funny damn show. You go back and watch the first season of ER. If you never watched ER, I swear to God, go back and watch the first episode, the pilot episode of ER. That is a great fucking show. It's only when you get into like the 3rd season or something that they start falling apart because the original creative team moves on or whatever else like that. And or you start to run out of ideas. Who is this calling me? Let's see. Oh, it's Ken. Hello? Hi, I'm recording WGO. How are you? I'll call you back. All right. Bye. That was my editor, Ken, calling to find out where the fuck this thing is. So anyway, I'll go ahead and sign off now so that we can get it to him. So that he can post it. So we can all go on with our lives. That just shows how few people call me here in the Techno Cave. No, almost no one has the number, the hotline. But anyway, if you want to get in touch with me, the best way to do so is to give me an email, and you can reach me at widgesucks@needcoffee.com. WIDGESUCKS at needcoffee.com. And that's need coffee as in I need coffee and lots of it. So anyway, that's it. I'm out of here. Ken's going to call me back in a second and bitch me out. So until next time... I will simply say, next time, like I mentioned in the box office thing, it's going to be a crazy fucking week because we've got Monster House, we've got Super Ex-Girlfriend, we've got the M. Night show, Shake in the Water, right? And then we've got our landlord and savior Kevin's movies coming out. So It's going to be a crazy fucking box office weekend, and Pirates is still in play. Superman, by next weekend, is going to be like number six or something. It's going to be sad. And basically, at this point, if you release a movie and then it doesn't place above Superman, it's like on the fourth weekend of Superman's, then you pretty much your name is mud. Anyway, that's it. I'm out of here. Until next time, be good.